Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Did you bring your Bibles?
Yes, sir.
All right. Turn with me to the book of Isaiah 41, and we're going to read together verses 9 through 10, and then we can be seated. Allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, thank you for this beautiful time of worship and praise. And Lord, now I'm asking God that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. I've entitled this morning's message, God Loves You. He really does. How many believe that God loves you? Come on, he loves us. You know, as I went before the Lord this week, and right now, in the world today that we live in, we see that there's a big giant scare with the coronavirus, and someone had died in Washington, and that it's a pandemic around the world, and they're showing the charts where it's all bubbling and everyone's getting contaminated. And then on a monthly basis, we're seeing people coming into a place of business and being mowed away. Like in Milwaukee, 5 out of nowhere got killed. We're seeing the violence. We're seeing all these things. Jesus said this in the book of Matthew 24, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. And he said, he talked about earthquakes. He talked about famine. He talked about pestilence. Well, pestilence is these viruses. You know, we were all thinking it was going to come from the big giant beasts like the elephants or the giraffes or even the gorillas and things of that nature. No, a virus is a small little animal that you could only see under a microscope. And they're the ones that are doing the most havoc. So we're seeing pestilence. We're seeing wars and rumors of wars. We're seeing things go chaotic. But I'm here to let you know, despite of all that I just said, and despite of what's going on in the culture, God loves us. He will watch over us. He will be our shield and buckler. He will be the one to protect us in the times of turmoil, in the times of tribulation, in the times right now that are dark. Why? Because Jesus is the light of the world. And because he lives in us, we can now, hallelujah, proclaim and prophesy and share the good news to those who do not know him. This is our moment. Take heed of the time that we live in. This is our moment now to shine. This is it. This is why he called us for, to show the love of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God to a dying world, that they would see hope in the living God. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Yeah, we see all the iniquity. We see the transgenders, the homosexuality. We see all that. We see the killing of babies. We see all that. But I'm telling you, God is greater. Can I get amen? Than what we naturally see, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever think and ask and hope for. And so that was my intro. Let's get to the message. Hallelujah. Are we there, Isaiah 41? Okay, let's read it together. You whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called from its farthest regions and said to you, you are my servant. I have chosen you and have not cast you away. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. May the Lord have a blessing to the hearer and reader of his word. You may be seated. As I have your attention here on the screen, I'm always putting little points and notes. But at low points in our lives, we may be tempted to believe that we don't really matter to God. Some of us fall into I like to say spiritual depression. When things don't seem right. When you have children that, why don't they serve you, God? And they go astray. Some of you have parents that don't serve God. Some of you are in a workplace where it's all unbelievers. And you're the only little light in there. And yet the world will come against your hope that lies within you. And so, saints, the hardships, the difficulties, and suffering we experience may seem like evidence that the Lord doesn't care. But this is not true. Some of the greatest saints in Christian history have endured unimaginable suffering without doubting God's love for them. Written in 1 Peter, therefore, God exhorts us to humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may, what? Exalt you in due time. You see, there are seasons with God and there are things that God allows us to go through. But through it all, we are to honor the King, worship him, praise him, because we know a better day is coming. He will see us through. Why? Casting all your care upon him. Why? For he cares for you. You have to understand that he cares mightily for you. Every aspect of your life, who he formed in your mother's womb, he loves you, will care for you, will see you through the most difficult times in your life. Can I get amen? Amen. Although the Lord has not promised us an easy life, and I can honestly attest to that, even in the middle of our trials, we can know with certainty that our lives matter to him. Your life matters to God. Can I get amen? Amen. I grew up in a family of 11. And there are three that I know of in our family that are serving the Lord. And I pray for the others. I pray that God, one day you'll bring them into that saving knowledge. Can I get amen? Amen. See, God has instilled the hope that we can pray for others, that God will have mercy on them as well. So saints, to matter means to be of importance to someone. And that is how God feels about his people. Everything matters to God. God knows each of us intimately, including our sins, our failures, our weaknesses. But guess what? He still loves us. And he still values us. Even in the pain and suffering, he allows in our lives those things to come, and yet he is still caring for us through it all. And his promises have not failed. Has God failed you? Listen, we may fail each other. We may make promises. We may say, you know what? I will never say that about you. And then a month later, it's bleepity, bleepity, bleep. But God doesn't do that with us. He changes not. He's immovable. The Bible says, I change not. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. And his covenant that he made with us is secure. Can I get an amen? Amen. Praise God. And so he knows us, he cares for us, and his promises will never fail. Because we can go to the word. We can go to scripture. How many love the scriptures? Listen, I can tell you all day long that he loves us, but you know what? I need proof. Can I get amen? Amen. I need proof. Well, in Hebrews 13:5 says, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will what? Never leave. What did he say? Never leave you, nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. How many of you every now and then need God to help you with something? Okay, it's just me. I will not fear. What can man do to me? What can man do to you? Who cares about the coronavirus and all these other things that are happening? God loves you. And he's with you. Can I get an amen? Thank you, God. So saints, when John the Apostle wrote the epistle in 1 John, he was an old timer. He was already about 80 and 90 years of age. Matter of fact, Sister Yolanda and I, we were so blessed. We've been to the island of Patmos. We did a side trip to Greece when we were traveling to Israel. And we went into that same cave where John the Apostle wrote the book of Revelation and his other three letters. Praise God. And, you know, they made it a shrine, and, you know, it's Greek Orthodox, so they got all the, you know, the little icons in there. But we weren't there to see all that. We were there and said, man, this is where he wrote all this stuff. Thank you, Jesus. His letter was addressed to believers. And in the first three verses of chapter 3, he encouraged them regarding God's love displayed in salvation. Look at this. In 1 John 3, 1-3, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be what? Called the children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us. This is why it's so hard when you invite people that, you know, they're not saved, and you invite them out, and yeah, I'll see you Sunday, and they don't show. We get that. We know that. But this is the reason. It's because, therefore, the world does not know us. So they don't understand the living God living inside you. All they can see is that something has changed. And so what you're doing, you're allowing them to become hungry for what you have. Can I get an amen? Just keep on living for Jesus. They'll come to a place one day, and they will call you and say, you know what? You were right. I need God right now. Hallelujah. So look at this. Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him. Hallelujah. So listen, when he comes and he takes us home, he's going to give us that new body. How many can't wait for that new body? Oh, I can't wait. There'll be no more cancer, diabetes. There will be no hypertension, no blood pressure, no more strokes. Hallelujah. Some of us will be maybe even 60 pounds lighter. I'm believing the new body, I'll be able to do this again with my hair. Oh, yeah. All I know is that body, the new body he gives us, will not perish. It will live on through eternity. Can I get amen? And so, beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone has this hope in him, purifies himself just as he is pure. And so the way we become pure is through the blood of Jesus. A person has to repent. A person has to cry out. A person has to just acknowledge that Jesus is Lord and Lord of all. Can I get amen? Amen. So saying salvation begins with a realization of our separation from God because of the original sin. Then knowing who Jesus is and what he has done on the cross, we trust in him to save us, forgive us of our sins, and to reconcile us back to God. You see, because of the original sin, because of Adam and Eve and their transgression, mankind has been separated from the Father. And so this is why Jesus had to come. Hallelujah. To reconcile us back to the Father. And then by faith, we are grafted in. And now we have the blessings of Abraham. Can I get an amen? How many believe that we have treasures that are beyond our comprehension? Oh, yeah. Beyond. Listen, I've been on a tour about 10 years ago with all these realtors, because that's what I do, and we went to Rancho Santa Fe, and we did a tour, and there's $40 million homes out there, and some of them are so elaborate. They got horse stables, and they have theaters, and they have swimming pools that start from the outside and they go on the inside. They have 80-inch screens in their restrooms. They have everything. Yet Jesus said, I have prepared a place for you. And let me just say this. What he has prepared for us makes those places look like a dunghill. You know why? Because those places still need plumbing. They still need termite work. They still fall apart. They still need maintenance. Can I get an amen? But what God has prepared with his hands, Hallelujah. We'll go on through eternity. Amen. These places won't be made out of concrete and stone and slab and electrical cords and all that. It'll be made by God himself. Thank you, God. And so he has reconciled us back. Now, God demonstrates his love through, and we see through the word, but also we can look at each other's life, how he has transformed us. Come on, some of you have those testimonies, man, where, wow, he really did that? Oh, yes, he did. I remember Pastor Cardell, when your family came to visit. I didn't know those stories. He saved who? You did what? Hey, that's our testimony, isn't it? Now, and then for those who grew up just decent, moral people, they still need Jesus too. Can I get amen? Amen. God works on all spectrums. Can I get amen? Amen? He's not a respecter of person. When he has made a decision before the foundation of the world who are going to be his, guess what? They will all come. One day you're, what's pulling me? What's pulling me, God? And then he's giving you now that mind to let it go. He's giving you that mind to say, man, this is evil now. And he's drawing you through his loving kindness to a place of repentance. And when we come to the cross, all of a sudden, he quickens us and we were dead spiritually. And then we awaken from that dead sleep. And then he lets us see the cross. And we get up from that coffin and we run toward the cross. Hallelujah. You see, a dead person can't see nothing. But he quickens us. He makes us come alive. And now he draws us to the cross. So he demonstrates with his power. Look how Paul elaborately wrote it in the book of Romans. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Listen, we were out there doing our thing. Come on, we were out there shaking it with the best of them, man. We were some of us were in and out of bedrooms and doing all kinds of things. Man, hitting this, smoking that, doing all this. And yet, he already died on the cross for us. And he knew the day he was going to draw you. You didn't know. You thought you had it going on. Oh, man, this is fun. This is life. And then everything starts falling apart. Marriage gets destroyed. You lose your job. The one you thought that was stick by you has left. Oh, that's not happening to you. And yet God in his mercy and his grace and his love, hallelujah, he knew the day he had to come and save your bacon. Thank you, God. Look at this. Having been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath. Did you know that at one time, you and I, we were appointed unto wrath. But because of his grace, we are translated from darkness into his marvelous light. And now we are the children of the Most High God. And he has shielded us, because when judgment finally comes, he will remove us out of the way. Can I get amen? Can't wait to be removed out of this place. Thank you, God. Look at this. For if when we were enemies, and we were all enemies. Did you know you were an enemy to Jesus? No, not me. I never cursed him out. But the sins were still there. You were so stained with sin that his blood had to come and wash it away. I'm sorry, SOS pads are not going to work. You can scrub all day long. You can take 5 showers a day. Your sin still remains. Look at this. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled through God, through the death of his son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Hallelujah. Come on, give him praise and glory. So saints, as God's children, we were sensitive. You should be. I should be. I'm in there too. But as God's children, we are sensitive to sin and desire to read his word and live an obedient, godly lifestyle. Now, can I get amen? Amen. If there's something that truly has been changed on the inside, then there should be evidence. Someone should know, man, there's something different about that person. They don't swear, they don't cuss and chew and hang out with those that do. Hallelujah. God is a good God. He's a mighty God, isn't he? When we do commit sin, we could come back to the Lord for cleansing. Aren't you so blessed that he's made a provision even for us? Because we still live in this frail body. I hope you know that. It's never going to be perfect before God. Hallelujah. But we can be cleansed on a daily basis with God. Thank you, Lord. But if we continue in it, he will discipline us as a loving heavenly father. We talked about it before. This is where he'll take the Board of Education to the seat of your understanding. And I do not I do not want to be in God's whooping shed, okay? I've been there before. I don't like it there. I want to get out of there as quickly as possible. Learn my lesson and move on. Repent and move on. Can I get amen? Amen. Saints, although God allows trials in our lives for a variety of reasons, sometimes he uses them to turn us back to him in repentance. That's right. Because it's always his goodness that we would humble ourselves and come back with a repentant heart. Oh, we don't come back all proud. Yeah, here I am, Lord. What's up? You know, you interrupted me. I was having fun over here. No, you come in humility. Can I get amen? Because this is what he does right up here. But God demonstrates his love toward us. Look at right here. Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, knowing that God's goodness leads you to repentance? See, in other words, he could have wiped us out. You ever seen, you ever gone to the beach and these big red ants are about ready to crawl on your feet? Do you let them crawl on your feet and bite you? Or do you stamp it out? Man, I'm looking at, he could have stamped us out like that, like a bug. As soon as we started sinning, he said, now I'm done with you. But he's long-suffering. He's patient. He knows what we're made of. We're frail. We're made of dust. And what makes us come alive is he breathed in us a soul. Thank you, Jesus. And look, but in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up yourself wrath. So people who just walk in rebellion, a day of wrath is coming for them. But because our hearts have been changed, we're not in that category. Can I get amen? God has given us that heart of praise and worship. And even when we fail God, we'll find ourselves, oh God, I've sinned. Oh God, help me, Lord. Oh God, forgive me, God. That's the place I want to be. I want to be in that place. Not lifted up in pride. Can I get amen? Because he says, you'd be treasuring up yourself with wrath in the day of wrath. And revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds. Now God wrote it. This is not my footnotes. This is what God says. Do we believe God's word? Amen. So we have to walk in his ways, right? So now, we're going to go through these principles. The evidence of God's care for us. There's evidence. God leaves us evidence. Can I get amen? That he loves us, he cares for us, he wants the best for us. Although we may feel we don't matter to anyone in this world, as God's children, we matter deeply to him. And John gives us evidence that demonstrates for his care for us. Look what he says. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be what? Called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. But God knows us. Aren't you so blessed that God called us out of darkness? Aren't you so blessed that what you were doing in the world, and now he has transitioned you. He has transformed you. He has renewed you. He has regenerated you by the power of the Holy Spirit. He's given you a new mind, a mind to be saved, a heart to repent. Can I get amen? God has done that for us. And so, saints, the display of his great love is seen in all that he does. So the very first thing of his grace toward us is salvation. To save us. God reached down into our lives through the word and opened up our minds, our hearts, to understand the gospel of Jesus Christ. Come on, just think for a moment before you got saved. Christians that would come and testify, people that would witness to you, it's like, get out of my grill before I throw a right or a left. Why? Because we didn't have ears to hear and eyes to see. We thought, oh man, here comes those religious folks. Here comes these goody-good two-shoes. Here comes these Jesus freaks. Oh, come on. Some of us would run from them. Some of us would get so mad. Man, you get in my grill one more time, I'm going to knock you out. We were like that, weren't we? So the Holy Spirit convicted us of our sinful condition and our need for forgiveness. He's the one that gives us that heart to repent toward him. Knowing that Jesus was the only one who could save us, we trusted in him for salvation and the forgiveness of sins. So remember earlier as we were discussing about the feast of the Lord? Well, the fourth feast was the feast of Pentecost. So when Jesus was taken back up into heaven, matter of fact, he was taken up in a cloud, he's going to come back the same way in the clouds. But he said, go and tarry in Jerusalem and wait for the promise. What promise? The promise of the Holy Ghost that would be poured out. And listen, there was 120 in that upper room, including Jesus' mother, Mary. So she needed salvation too. I hope you know that. Can I get an amen? Amen. They all needed salvation, including her. She was highly favored, and God chose her to bring forth the Messiah. But she was still sinful in her sinful. She wasn't like Jesus. There was only one who had no sin. He who knew no sin became sin that we may become the righteousness of Christ by faith. And so it was God who did it so wonderfully, how he saved us. And on the day of Pentecost, had fully come. They were there with one accord and one mind. And then came in a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole place, and tongues of fire became on them. And it was only 9 o'clock in the morning. And so when there's a feast going on in Jerusalem, thousands and thousands come to celebrate the feast, right? God chose that appointed time that they would all be there. And so the men that were down below, they heard the upper room, and they thought they were drunk, and yet the bars weren't open yet. And they were all speaking in tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. And then remember scaredy cat Peter, he ran from three people. I don't know him. Leave me alone. He told a little girl, I don't know who he is. Leave me alone. And the Holy Ghost came and arrested their hearts. Can I get amen? And then he came up with spiritual boldness, and he stepped down. He said, man of Galilee. And he started telling them about the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He brought a conviction on them. It was you that put him on the cross. And so the anointing of God, the power of God, and the preaching of the word came and fell on them. And they said, what must we do? Amen. Man, because listen, when the anointing is upon you and you're sharing your testimony, you're sharing Christ with someone, the anointing will fall. God will give them ears to hear and eyes to see. And Paul's very first message was, then Peter said, repent. Say that with me. Repent. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sin, remissions. And then he says, and you shall. Say that with me. You shall. He didn't say maybe or wait for my text or post it up on Facebook or wait for a fax to come. No, he said, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Can I get amen? For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. All I have to say this morning is keep living for Jesus and watch him bring your family. Continue to be a light before those that don't know him. So what if they mock? So what if they persecute? It doesn't matter. Love on them. Show them the love of God, the grace of God, the mercy. It's easy to blaze them up with an AK-47. Repent or perish. Repent or perish. No, let your life so shine. Can I get an amen? That they would see our Father's good works in you. They'll come then. They come through love. They don't come through a whip. How many times have you grabbed your kid by the ear? Come on, you're coming to church today. And I want you to sit down right here. And so they're sitting down, but in their heart, they're standing up. They ain't going to come like that. Show them the love. Show them the love. They will come. Can I get an amen? And then once the salvation comes, then he starts working on it. Yeah, man, that's when he puts us on the potter's wheel, man. Yeah, and then it's called sanctification. That's right. That's right. He starts whittling away those things in our life. You know, this is some excess fat right here. I got to cut that off. Yeah, and you know what? Whatever he takes away, he replaces it with something better. Man, you thought, man, I don't want to let this go yet, God. No, I want to hold on to this. He just real slowly just starts prying our fingers open. And then we do this. And then he takes it and gives us something better. Hallelujah. The Lord set us apart for himself so that we could live for him. His spirit now sits on the throne of our hearts, guiding our lives, giving understanding of his word, empowering us to obey God and transforming us into the image of his son. Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, he said, now may the God of peace himself, what? Sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved, what? Blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. You see, until you are washed in the blood, your sins still remain. So I always wondered, God, how do we purify? How do we make ourselves blameless when you come? Because throughout the course of a day, we have lustful thoughts. We covet. We look at things we shouldn't have looked at. We hear things. We listen to stuff we shouldn't be listening. And that whole day, it's like a war. Paul says, there's a war now in my members. And so we're wrestling with all this all day long, right? But yet, he says, be blameless. How do we become blameless and pure before him? And God had to show me it was simple. He says, listen. When the Father looks down, guess what? He doesn't see your sin no more. He sees the blood. Because it was the blood, hallelujah, that took away your sins. It wasn't you taking them away. Man, you could work all day long. I ain't gonna do this, I ain't gonna do that. And for one iota second, you go right back to that. And then you gotta start all over again. No. It's not by works of righteousness that you have done, but it's by his mercy. It was his mercy that set you free. It was his mercy and grace that saved you by the blood. And so when you wake up, oh God, thank you for the blood. I praise you. I glorify you. Because now I can stand before you pure and blameless and holy because of the blood. Hallelujah. What can take away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Come on, you guys know that song. Nothing but the blood. No one talks about the blood no more. We need to talk about the blood. The Bible says that there is life in the blood. Throughout Leviticus, there's life. And then salvation, sanctification, and guess what? Provision. Yeah, well, some of you go, man, I only got $10 in my wallet, man. I don't even know when the next dollar's coming. It's coming. You got here, didn't you? You're going to go to some place when you leave this place, right? Listen, he's given us clothes and food. Hallelujah. Shelter. Provision to go to and fro. God has always provided you since you were formed in your mother's womb. He made sure that Mr. Abortion didn't get to you. Can I get an amen? He made sure that you were birthed through your mother's womb. And from that moment on, he has cared for us through your parents and grandparents and those who he placed temporarily for you. But through it all, he was taking care of us. Why? Because he loves us. He wants the best for our life. Can I get an amen? See, God has promised to provide for all of his children's needs. Are you sure it says that? Yes. Paul wrote to the Philippian church, and my God shall supply what? All of your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be what? Glory forever and ever. Amen. We should never be in want, in need. All we need is Jesus. Can I get him? All we need is Christ. He's our all in all. He's the lover and bishop of our soul. He is from everlasting to everlasting. He is the Alpha and the Omega. Hallelujah. He is the soon return coming King. And he's coming back for a church that's blameless. Now, blameless meaning washed in the blood. Spirit filled. Hallelujah. Born again. Thank you, God. Regenerated by the power of the Holy Spirit. I can't wait for that day. It's coming soon. So salvation would have been enough, but God also commits himself to supply all the needs. Why? Because he cares for us. His resources are inexhaustible, saints. And our blessings are in abundance to Christ. Then he provides, he gives us salvation, he sanctifies us. And then guess what's working inside of us? The Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, this is how much God loves us. He made sure that every facet of our life that he's going to meet and that he's going to use for his glory. It's for his glory. I hope you know that. That's right. Yeah. We enjoy salvation. We love knowing that we're not going to hell in a handbasket no more. But we are to now experience the power of the Holy Spirit. See, saints, upon our salvation, the Lord sent his Holy Spirit to indwell in us. And without him, we would be powerless to live the Christian life. You see, this is why you see so many people get burned out. Oh, I'm burned out, man. You know why? Because they got no power. They have no power. They were operating the whole time in the flesh. And they were praising God with you. They started running well. And then all of a sudden, you don't see them no more. And they're out there back doing the same thing they once did. Why? Because there was never a true regenerated heart. This is why Jesus talked about the four soils. The true child of God has that soil where the seed goes deep and then brings forth fruit. Can I get an amen? The Bible says you will know them by their fruit. And when the Holy Ghost comes, you don't have to tell anybody to witness. You know why? The power of God will do it all by itself. He will open up your mouth and he will, man, prophesy through your mouth. Can I get amen? Because he said it right here, but you shall receive power. Say that with me. Power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you and you shall be witnesses. Listen, do you remember when you first got saved? You couldn't wait to tell somebody. Man, guess what happened to me? And they would go, man, what is he on now? I'm on the Most High. That's what I'm on. Look at this. You shall be witnesses to me. And guess where Jerusalem? Guess where Judea and Samaria is? You know where that is? Your next door neighbor. When's the last time you told your neighbor next door that you're saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, that they too can be saved? When's the last time you walked, you know, some of you have been in ministries where you go here, you go there, you go everywhere, but what about your own neighborhood? What about your own neighbor? Why did you bypass them? Oh, I don't want them to know I'm saved. When's the last time you knocked on everyone's door in your block? Invited him out to a Bible study. Hey, do you know Jesus? Man, he's a wonderful Savior. He can save you from your sins. Yeah, you know, it's about being bold.
Yes, that's right.
Paul wrote it best. I am not afraid of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation, first to the Jews and then to us Gentiles. It's the power of God. Paul wrote to the Corinthian church like this. He says, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of the power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. When you share with someone how God delivered you from the vials of the devil, how he had you in a grip, you know, these MMA, where they get you into a grip and they try to make you tap out. Well, the devil was trying to make you tap out. And then God came, hallelujah, and threw him off your back. He had you in a sleep hole. You're about ready to be taken out. How many of friends and family members you know that were taken out by the devil? Many of them were taken out. They didn't know how to call upon the name of the Lord. Some of them were calling for their mamas. Mama, they didn't know. But we do, hallelujah. God has saved us for such a time as this. Can I get an amen? So we need to come to a comprehension that now we are the children of God. Say that with me. We are now the children of God. Are you sure it says that, Pastor? Yes. I double checked. I triple checked. I quadruple checked. That we are the sons of God. Look what it says in Galatians. For you are all the sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many as you were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither no Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. You are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are in Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Hallelujah. Everything that Abraham was promised to, we have it now. Thank you, God. We have healing. We have provision. Hallelujah. We have deliverance from sin. Hallelujah. We got healing. When the doctor says you got cancer or diabetes, I say, I'm going to believe the report of the Lord. The report of the Lord says, I am whole and well and healed. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. We have to get that in our spirit. Saints, we all understand the special love of parents that have for their children. I love my children, my grandchildren. I know you do too. They're precious. They're precious. Yet this is only a shadow of the great love and care God has for his children, which is us. He has showered us with spiritual blessings and promises, and nothing could ever separate us from him. How many believe that nothing can separate you? You see, we look sometimes in a tunnel vision type of life. We don't see the perimeters. We just see a tunnel vision. So I need you to get this principle in. It has not appeared as yet what will be. See, we read about the change. We read about the new body. We read about the new Jerusalem. We read about God renovating the world. We read it. We see it. But do you really believe it? Do you really believe that God's going to do something mighty like that? Well, this is why John the apostle in the island of Patmos, when he wrote his four letters there and the book of Revelation, he said it best. He said, beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like what? Him. You got to put that in your spirit. That's right. Yeah, this body's been living for 61 years now. But there's a change coming. Can I get amen? The change is coming for you. And it doesn't appear like it will be, but it will be changed in the moment of a twinkling of an eye. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. You got to remember. When he rose again, he was the prototype. He was the only one that rose from the dead to live forevermore. What I loved about it, read the Gospels. He would appear and then disappear. And you know what I love best? That body, that new body he has, he even ate. Man, I was going to say, man, are we going to eat again? And I hear him saying, you've eaten enough. Yeah, we're going to enjoy it. But let me just say this, and I'll move on. When he renovates the world and the new Jerusalem drops down, he's going to do away with all the oceans. The Bible says in Revelation, the sea will be gone. So you better enjoy your sushi now. Get your sushi in now. Because it's going to be gone. He's going to have something better. Can I get it? He's going to have something better. Look at that. And we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. And that is through the blood of Jesus. Thank you, God. So saints, when we see now in our world and in our human condition, we know that it's only temporary. If we look at our society, we could become discouraged because it is worse than it ever has been. Oh, come on. I don't even watch sitcoms no more. They want to shove down your throat homosexuality, transgenderism. You know, it first started with fornication, sleeping in beds without being married. And now it's gotten worse. It's decayed. It becomes detestable now. And sometimes we can fall into, oh, yeah, this is making me laugh. Yeah, no, don't put your eyes on that. It's a lie from the devil. If he can lure you asleep, man, he'll be like the Pied Piper. And you'll be falling into traps, believing a lie. Can I get an amen? We need to be strong. We need to be men and women of the word. Have this word well up in truth. Why? Because when the counterfeit comes, you'll know it's counterfeit. That's what they teach all the check stand people in Walmarts and Targets. They don't teach them what the counterfeit looks like. They teach them what the real thing looks like. So after you study the real thing, when the counterfeit comes, you'll know that's not the real thing. This is the truth right here in the word of God. Can I get amen? So the busyness, riches, pleasures of the world threaten to draw our attention away from the Lord and distract us from reading his word. If you're not in a Bible church, Bible-believing reading church, find one and get planted in and grow. Can I get amen? Amen. Grow in your faith. Learn the things of God. Learn what he loves, what he doesn't love. And then we would be like him. Can I get amen? Amen. Yet the scriptures are what we need in order to live as God desires. His commands do not deprive us of anything, but gives us what our Heavenly Father knows what's best for us. How many of you know already that God wants the best for our life? Even in the midst of trials, even in the midst of tribulation, even in the midst of going through, he still wants the best for you. You know why? Because when you come out on the other side, man, you can say, man, thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, you saw me through, and now I can testify what you've done for me and give a hope to others. Can I get amen? Amen. And so we know that when he appears, we will be like him. I can't wait, because 1 John says it. We just read it. We're going to read it. But now we are the children of God. Not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him. Saints, when Christ returns, we will be raised to be like him. In the greatest chapter of the resurrection, it's found right here in Corinthians. Look at this. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep for thousands of years. Listen, we've only been around for 6,000 years. Oh, yeah. The atheists, the humanists, all these people in the secular school, the earth has been here for millions and millions of years. No, that's not what the Bible says. We've only been around for 6,000 years. And God spoke it all.
Somebody tell the truth.
That's right. 6,000 years. And God's about ready to bring, hallelujah, the renovation now. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Jesus, listen. All the Old Testament prophets, they prophesied about the coming of the Lord. He came, he died, he rose, and now he says he's coming again. So even the Old Testament prophets have prophesied on his return. the New Testament on his return. But none of them could piece it together until our generation that we live in now. Why? Because they were prophesying that all the Jews that were scattered around for 3,500 years is now back in the land. That's the first sign right there. And then he said that there will be wars and rumors of wars. Look at all these great wars that we've had, and there's still wars going on now. Then the pestilence. Then we have never had so many earthquakes like never before. And they're around the whole world, and they're coming in numbers. Jesus said, when all these start to converge, look up, for your redemption draw it nigh. Can I get amen? Amen. We are around the corner, saints. We're going to see the greatest event that all the patriarchs, all the people that who've been asleep, meaning their dead bodies in the ground, but their souls that are with God. Hallelujah. We can't wait for that day, because God is going to put everything together and we will be like him. How many can't wait for that moment? I know I can't. I can't wait. See, God only provides everything we need for life and goodness in this present time. But greater provision awaits us in the future, when we'll be resurrected with our glorious bodies. You see, the Bible says he has justified us, he has sanctified us, and he has now glorified. The glorification, he only sees in the near future. We can't see the glorified body yet. We see that we've been justified by the blood. So now we can stand before God just as if we never sinned. How does that work? By faith, by God's grace. And then the sanctification through the word of God, through fellowship of the saints, Bible teaching and Bible reading, Bible class, Sunday morning, home fellowship. God starts to sanctify your mind. He starts giving you a new mind. Not like the mind of the world in the past, but a new mind in Christ. And then the glorification is when we get the new body. He already sees that. Hallelujah. This is why when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, for a moment, he said, is there another way? Yet not my will, but thy will be done. Then he goes on to say, because he saw the cross before him and the world behind him. He saw because of the joy that was set before him. Saints of God, you need to understand there is a wonderful day of joy, unspeakable, full of glory, that's going to come, and we're going to be in these new bodies, and we're going to be able to stand in his glory, because we cannot stand in his glory right now. We will disintegrate. This is why God told Moses, don't look at me or you will be disintegrated. So Moses had a turn, and he only saw the train of his robe. But we're going to have the new bodies to stand before the brilliance of God and embrace the glory. We'll have bodies that will not be disintegrated. They will be like his, and we will know him, and we will have unspeakable joy. Man, just imagine. Remember when you first got the Holy Ghost? Man, you were lit up like this. Oh, I can't wait to tell you what. I just feel so good. He just gave you a teaspoon of who he is. Some of you have been in a desert place, been dry for a long time, forgot what that felt like. God said, it's okay. I never left you nor forsake you. Just come and replenish yourself with his goodness, with his grace, with his love. I hope when you come out to the healing rooms in a few minutes, some of you will come and say, man, I feel like I'm in a desert place. Man, we'll lay hands and watch the Holy Ghost come. Thank you, God. And so, God has given us great provision. And look what he says that he has given the church. How many of you believe that you are powerful through Christ? Not on your own. We have no power on our own. But what was the power for? Just to be happy? Yeah, praise the Lord. Or was it for this? Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the devil or the enemy, and nothing shall any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. My name is written in heaven, but these are the benefits of being saved. I've given you authority to trample on devils. Can I get an amen? Thank you, God. And so lastly, as we close, and everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he is pure. In 1 John 3:3, everyone who has his hope in him purifies himself. Saints, our lives matter because God desires the best for us. Can I get an amen? Amen? That we live pure, holy lives by the power of the Holy Spirit. Knowing our glorious future should motivate us to obey God and his word and be led by the Spirit. And I close with these scriptures here. 1 Timothy. I love these scriptures. Why? Because it identifies what God has done for us, what God is doing in you, what God wants to accomplish in your life. How many of you believe that he has a plan for you? Some of you are here maybe for the first time, but it's not a coincidence that you're here. You know why? Because God wants to confirm in your spirit that he loves you, number one. He has a plan for you, and nothing is going to thwart that plan that God has set forth for you. You got to walk in faith and believe God has called me out of darkness into this marvelous light, and I will stand in that very day with him. Can I get an amen? And so we'll close with these scriptures. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having what? This seal. The Lord knows those who are his. If you know that you are his, raise your hand. Everybody's hand went up in here. Praise God. Look, the Lord knows those who are his. And let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Can I get amen? Amen. Don't let the stuff of Egypt have any influence on you anymore. He delivered you out of Egypt. Now we're in the promised land of Christ. Hallelujah. The rock, the solid rock I stand. No other name. How does that song go, brothers? Look at this. Let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some for honor and some for dishonor. Unfortunately, in the church abroad, there's the sheep and the goats. And when Jesus comes, he's going to send his angels to separate the sheep from the goat. That's right. There's some that sit right next to you. Praise the Lord. Yeah. And they go home and live like the devil. God, put it this way. When God cleans up house, he gonna clean it up. He goes in the crevices and the cracks. When he does a cleaning, you could take the white glove treatment and see no dust. Look at this. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel of honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the name of a pure heart. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. Man, you know what? I've learned this. Someone comes up to me, well, did you know, blah, 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 blah. You know what? I stop them in their track. You know what? I don't want to know about, let's just pray. If that's a concern, let's just pray. Lord, bless that person who they're referring to. I don't need to know the ins and outs. I don't know. Nothing. You know why? Because I don't want my mind to be polluted by that. Can I get amen? Amen? They may see that person like that, but I don't want to. Because all of a sudden you're taking a side. Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, man. And then when they come to church, you're looking at them already like this. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, be patient in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance. There's some folks, you could preach to them till they blue in the face. And until God moves on their heart, they're not going nowhere. But be gentle with them. Tell them. Get right or get left. And this is not a political slogan, and yet they use it in the political world. Get right with God or get left behind. Can I get amen? Look at this. So that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil. The devil want to take them out. As I shared earlier, he's taken many out already, having been taken captive by him to do his will. But let me just say this. We are the children of the Most High God. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Come on, somebody give him a shout of praise and glory. Listen, normally we have an altar call, but we're gonna end in prayer, because I always, it is God's desire, after every study, every Bible study, we give an invitation to receive Christ. And we don't know who's listening on the internet. It goes around the world. It goes around. People are downloading messages left and right. And I don't care who got saved in China or Russia or wherever. All I know is that we will see them on the other side. And God will say, hey, you preached me and me crucified, and I drew them because of your obedience. And so let's go before the Lord and invite those who are listening right now. If you're listening to this message and God has just moved on your heart by faith, he's calling you to a place of repentance. Someone maybe shared this on Facebook with you. Maybe someone pointed the link to you. Maybe you were typing in Amazing Grace for whatever reason and our website popped up, and now you're listening to this message by faith. Whatever the case may be, God loves you. He really does. And all you have to do is receive him by faith. Our church family wants to pray with you right now. And this is your moment with Christ. God has stopped all time for you right now at this moment. And he's asking you to turn, make an about face, and turn to Jesus. If that's you, we want to pray this simple prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for what you've done on the cross. Lord Jesus, I ask you right now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my life. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to serve you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Give him a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Is he worthy?
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.